Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello! Welcome everybody to another episode of Pot Strickland. I'm your host, Shwini Poo, in this episode 412. I'm joined on a glorious and moderately warm Friday afternoon. I'm joined by my co-host, Prez, that is at underscore Presidente on Twitter slash X. Prez, now that the draft is over, you can rest. How does it feel?
Feels like I'm not resting, as evidenced by my crunching Ariel Huppurti film at 10 p.m. last night. I can't turn the switch off. It's more like the light switch that, what do you call that shit? Where it's like a dimmer. So the candle will slowly go out over the coming weeks. Mixed lighting metaphors
never
here.
Fully
y'all know what I'm talking about. Never fully extinguishes.
it never fully goes out. Yeah. There's always somebody's always keeping the flame alive. All right. Well, we will talk about the draft. And it was a rather uneventful week for the Knicks. So not much to talk about here, but we'll probably find some stuff to do. All right. Before we get started, a few announcements. The first thing that Strickland has an Instagram, check that out. That is at this channel on Instagram. We post all kinds of new content there. Strickland also has a YouTube channel where you may be watching this podcast. If you are and you've not done so already, please hit like, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment. That'd be a huge help to us. Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website at www.thestrick.land. There's a link that'll take you to the merchandise store. There's all kinds of cool stuff on there, like t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, water bottles, you name it. We've got it. We even have a Nova York merchandise line, which you might be more interested in than you were previously. Strickland also has a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are no different tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland, this podcast that I host every Friday with Prez. You also get access to Takes from Alfie's Bozos, a new podcast that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with Zach Blatter. And now you get access to also the Strickland Discord with Conversation Never Stops. There, for the tiers, there's a $9 tier that gets you access to Strick and Roll, my solo pod, right? Ranger name, but the Knicks even more. You also get access to wonderful premium articles by Matthew Miranda, who has been on a tear lately and is one of the best in the business. And you get access to Strictly NFL, our podcast, which you guessed it is about the NFL, that is hosted by Constantine Metricos. There are further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. This comes with a variety of additional benefits, like listening on a pod recording, merchandise discounts, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not. And this would be possible without you. And none of this would be possible without BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus and your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Well, where to start? I guess we can start. Let's start in chronological order of this week's events. The first domino, so to speak, that has kicked off a very eventful week in Knicks land. The Knicks trade for Mikal Bridges from the Brooklyn Nets. They give up their 2025, 2027, 2029, and 2031. First-round picks unprotected. They also gave up the Milwaukee Bucks 2025 pick that they held. That's top four protected. And they gave a pick swap in 2028. Bojan Bogdanović goes out to make the salaries work. This has not been formally announced, as the Knicks, we'll talk about this as well, as the Knicks are probably likely searching for ways to add something to this trade that would give them more space to, and only hard cap them at the second apron rather than the first apron. We'll get into all that. I want to say a few things about this trade. The first being that I think in a vacuum, or forget a vacuum, I think this is an overpay for Mikal Bridges. I do not think that he is worth this type of pick haul. I do not think there are a lot of circumstances where you would feel comfortable with this. Part of the reason why I think the pick call was as substantial as it was is the Knicks did not give up any single rotation player in this trade. The only player they gave up was Bogdanović, who, thank you for the short memories of your time in New York. We will forever have those two beautiful threes that he hit against the Sixers in game two. Best of luck to him. I don't think that he'll be long for the Nets. I have a feeling they will likely try to move him as soon as possible and maybe try and recoup some more assets on the back end. We'll see if they're successful with that. Anyways, the Knicks did not give up any long-term viable rotation pieces in this trade. That is one of the reasons the pick call is substantial. The other being is the Nets likely did not want to trade with the Knicks for plenty of reasons, which I don't really think need to be explained. And finally, the other reason why the pick call is substantial is this. The Knicks project to be very good for at least the next 3 years, which means the 2025 pick and the 2027 pick are likely to not be very high value picks. Now, I know next year's draft is supposed to be very good and very stacked. Generally speaking, no matter how good and how stacked a draft is, picks that project to be in the 20 to 30 range are just not going to be valued that highly. And to make up for that, you have to make up in volume. And that means you have to go out into those further years, 2029, 2031. You know, obviously we would like, me and you as Knicks fans, would like to believe that the Knicks will still be good then. They might well still be good then. But weird things happen in the NBA when you project out 5 years, 7 years. Hell, weird things happen when you project out one fucking year in the NBA. So that is the reason why I think this pick call is substantial. Now, I've seen a lot of people make a false dichotomy between comparing this as Michael Penis, or Pina, as he's better known, who writes for The Ringer, compared this to, you only see these type of pick calls for Hall of Fame players and legends like Kevin Durant and like blah, blah, blah. Fine, sure. I think it's a little rich for somebody who is a Celtics fan, and I think it's a little rich for a lot of basketball writers and thinkers and whoever who have praised the Celtics for building the team that they did and lauding the efforts and contributions of players like Drew Holiday and Derek White to then turn around and laugh at giving up a substantial pick call for a player like Mikal Bridges. I don't feel bad saying it's an overpay because guess what, Prez? I consistently said, I don't think Mikal Bridges is necessarily like this all-star level player. And I think people would look at it funny if you traded this pick call for Derek White too. But based on, you know, what we just saw from this Boston Celtics team, and I've been talking about this for a couple years even prior, I think depth is really, really key in the NBA, and I actually think it's like it's probably the most significant component now for championship teams, is having not just a top three of superstars, but really preferably having 7, 8, 9 guys who, to varying extents, yes, some will have to be all-stars, but are high-level contributors. And the Knicks have that right now, even without Isaiah Hartenstein in the fold, which we'll also talk about. The Knicks right now under contract have at minimum 8 players who you would say are high level rotation players or above. That being Jalen Brunson, obviously a greater player than just a high level rotation player. Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, Dante DiVincenzo, Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, Deuce McBride, Josh Hart, and am I forgetting somebody? I'm probably forgetting somebody. I don't know. We all know who they are.
Pacom Dadier.
Yeah, Pacom Dadier, my guy, P Daddy, as nobody should ever call him. But like having that level of, and all these guys are entering their prime or in their prime. Julius is the old head of this group, who is currently 29, will turn 30 in this next season. That's pretty unheard of. And you could look around the league, that is insane. And for that reason, I think you can argue, yeah, in, you know, if you want to just take it as a standalone trade, sure, overpay by the Knicks. If you want to look at this as this is the piece that they perceive as kind of completing the group, which, again, without Isaiah Hartenstein, I don't agree with. But leaving that aside, then this was worth that risk. And you cannot question the depth. You cannot question the versatility of this group. They should be an elite offensive team. They should be an elite defensive team. I'm not going to call this trade a home run. I actually think whether this ends up being a good, great, neutral, regretful trade is still up for debate. But that's kind of how I feel about that. And the other part of this that I think is needs to be discussed is the Knicks were interested in Paul George. Okay. Paul George is a better player today and probably at his peaks, all of his peaks will be better than Mikal Bridges' peaks. Here's the thing with Paul George. Paul George is once they, given the Knicks cap situation, there was no way to make a trade for Paul George that did not require sending out a rotation player of substance. There's no way to do it. Absolutely no way to do it. And when you combine that with the fact that we have multiple reports that he wants a 4-year max, near max type of deal, and then you combine that with his age, he's 34 years old. Yes, he had a great season last year, no question about it, but he is 34 years old and comes with the type of injury history and baggage that we already are kind of have a little bit of trepidation with when it comes to OG Anunoby. You're significantly increasing your risk now of being open to the kind of injury, barrage of injuries that we sustained last year. And I think there's an argument that even if the ceiling you get for the next 2 years, let's say, with Paul George is higher than what the next 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it will be with Mikal Bridges is, the fact that you're getting that many years with Mikal and hopefully with most of this group, it is a fair and reasonable decision to then move on from Paul George and shift to Mikal Bridges. That's my thoughts on the Mikal Bridges trade.
That was the longest reasonable rant. It can't even call it a rant. That was more like a diatribe. That was just like you reading a speech or something. It was.
Yeah, I was. You know, the Supreme Court got me fired up today.
Defensive reasonableness, but I don't disagree.
Finally, the last piece of it, I will say, if they re-sign Isaiah Hartenstein, none of this matters. If they resign Isaiah Hartenstein, they are going to be one of the three favorites in the league to win the championship, and they will be a contender for the next few years without question in my mind. And I will not give a fuck that they traded for unprotected first from Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, that was chief among the many follow-up factors which impact the ultimate grade of this Mikal deal. Holistically speaking, for these Knicks, because none of these moves are made in a vacuum, like you said. Yeah, the pick haul was, if you're going by recent star deals, it was an overpay, and that's fine. You have to look at these overpays from the sense of what the team is trying to accomplish and how that player fits in with the team, right? Like, look at the Rudy Gobert deal. Like, was that an overpay? Yes. Are they a championship contender now? Kind of, right? Like, we can debate, like, if they're a fringe or whatever, but they beat the defending champions. Like, they may have gotten fucking unceremoniously mollywopped out by Dallas, but, like, I promise you, all of these writers at the end of that Denver Minnesota series were like, the Minnesota, everybody was unanimous that Minnesota was fucking serious business. Then we saw the downside of their particular roster construction, because they really constructed their roster to beat Denver. and they had a lot of one-way players who were immensely talented, and it kind of doomed them versus a team with a much different style in the Dallas Mavericks. What that means for the Knicks is, like, if they feel like McCall does more for them than other stars who are sub superstars, right? If that's the category you want to put McCall in, or superstars who are sub, you know, all NBA types, however you want to define it, like, that is essentially the bet the Knicks are making. Like, McCall Bridges, we talked, the perfect example of this is like how he compares to the guy he's replacing in the starting lineup, presumably Dante DiVincenzo. We got to see how shit shakes up, but as of now, that's what would happen. And by most advanced metrics, Dante had a better year last year. His highs were higher, whatever, whatever. By the same token, the year before that, Mikal Bridges had a better year than Dante's year this year. His year before this year was incredible. So it's very clearly a bet that they can get the most out of a player and maximize him. And this shouldn't really be a surprise to people who follow the Knicks, because this is the defining characteristic of this front office, right? Is they acquire players who they think have more in the tank than they've shown. Jalen Brunson's obviously the marquee, but literally the entire team without exception, Julius Randle, Isaiah Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson, the guys they traded, Emmanuel Quickley, RJ Barrett's the fucking only one who this is not true of for the most part, but like OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Deuce McBride, Precious Achiuwa, fucking Alec Burks, like random Bogdan Bogdanovic, like all these guys have outperformed what people expected, and it's not a coincidence. So you look at a player like Mikal Bridges, who has teetered between some superstar shot making and just very good shot making, and he's teetered between elite defense and mediocre defense at different points in his career. And the bet is that you can take the best parts of the best things he's shown in different years and turn that into a player we haven't seen before, right? A player who defends a little bit more like Phoenix McCall, a player who jump shoots a bit like McCall last year, but probably at a higher volume, right? Like, they weren't exactly playing analytics ball over there in Brooklyn. McCall is pretty good. Nobody knows what they're... Well, they're tanking. That's what they're doing, but...
They weren't, like, trying to tank, though.
I mean, this coming year.
Yeah.
Now they know what they're doing. Well, with an asterisk. Let's see. I know, as a quick tangent, it's going to be funny. Like, people are already showing, like, here's the first two early mock draft for 2025. And for you sickos who don't know about the 2025 class, two of the top five players, arguably, are playing at Rutgers University in New Jersey. So there's something karmically funny to me about the Nets finally hitting the tanking switch the first year that Jersey got some real fucking hoopers in the pipeline at the college level. They often have them at the high school level, and then they usually go play basketball, not in New Jersey for the most part. Anyway.
Final thing to add on to that I find really funny. I've seen, like, Nets fans, like, and, like, reasonably, honestly, Nets fans should be happy that they.
Yeah, I would be fucking ecstatic.
Yeah, and they got control.
I was one of the 12. Yeah.
Yeah. And they got control of their picks in 2025 and 2026 back from Brooklyn, or sorry, from Houston. And they gave up the Suns picks they had in 2027, the swap in 2028, and the Suns pick in 2029 to do that. I'd be happy about everything that's happened. But I do think it's funny because the 2027 unprotected pick they have from us, we still have a chance of getting a better first in that year than them, because we have that Detroit pick that's like a 1-8 protected pick that year. I suspect that will convey, and I suspect it will be at a point higher in the draft than the Nets. So fuck you, Nets fans.
Yeah, as a tangent to your tangent, I see people sleeping on the Detroit and Washington picks before. Wait, did the Washington pick go over or no?
No, we still have that one.
Yeah, okay. So, like, I mean, those are going to be close. Like, they're going to be, like, on a razor's edge. It's like, with
especially the, Wizards, the Washington one.
With the Wizards, it's a question of, is a team going to pick in the top 10 4 years in a row, right? Like, last year, top 10. This year, top 10. Next year, absolutely going to be the top 10. But that fourth year, you're like, all right, they will have been horrendous for three straight years. 4 years in a row, that's like process level. That's like a work of fucking art. So I can understand why the Knicks took that bet, because I haven't done the actual math of like how frequently teams have picked in the top 10 4 years in a row. But it's got to be a pretty small number. But despite that, the Wizards could easily say, like, yeah, dude, that's what we're actually going to do. Fuck you. Like, we've been waiting to reset. Now we're going to rebuild like a motherfucker. So, like, it is definitely not without risk. But if it does come, like, there's no way the Wizards are going to be good, right? It's just, do they pick in the top eight? So that has the potential to be a very juicy pick as well. So, like, you know, Leon's a little bit of a gambler at times. And, you know, we're not without avenues to acquiring.
Is it Leon or Brock Aller? Who knows?
You know what? Leon's a Brock Aller Leon's a Brock Aller. Leon's a gambler by giving Brock Aller the fucking keys by to proxy. The whip, bro.
By proxy.
You give your boy who's wiling out in the fucking steering wheel and driving your car the keys to your car. Guess what? You're a gambler. Even if your boy's wild. That's just how it is. As we saw in the second round yesterday.
He's an accessory. Leon's an accessory to gambling.